Oh, bless your hearts. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to the Epistle of Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 2, to begin. On this Sunday, November the 14th, 2021, we're going to look at forgiveness. A very familiar verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, speaking of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, "Who did no sin, none, ever. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed." And so Jesus Christ paid the price for both, for our healing and for our sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." We just read in Peter, did not sin. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We know from gospel records that Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. Every other human being from Adam until now, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ led a sinless life. And of course, because of Adam, all of us, we are born with a sin nature. You know, the old man nature, we're just born that way. Born with no spirit life. That's why it says we are dead in trespasses and sins before we get born again. But something happened. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, God's big plan finally came into fruition. God's plan for people to be born again of his spirit and all that goes with it. And at the end of Peter's preaching that's recorded there in Acts 2, verse 37, when they heard that, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we got to be careful when we read the word baptized or baptism, that doesn't always mean water. The word baptism doesn't always mean there has to be water. Remember, Jesus Christ, right before he left, said, "John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." So, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When we got born again, the Bible says we got remission of sins. And in Acts 10, when Peter was preaching at Cornelius's house, he said again the remission of sins. In Acts 10, this is when Peter was at Cornelius's house, and he was preaching to them about Jesus Christ. Verse 43, "To him give all the prophets witness," look at this, "that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins." So not only the gift of Holy Spirit, but we get remission of sins. There are different words, Greek words, that are translated remission and forgiveness. And we're going to briefly look at three of those. This is not going to be an exhaustive class. This is just briefly look at these. Now, I would invite you to look them up. I mean, it's real easy. Get a concordance and plenty of online tools where you could look up these different words. But we're going to look briefly at three of them that are translated either remission or forgiveness. And we're going to look at them as they relate to sins. Different Greek words at times have different usages. Like, for example, when you read the word spirit, it could be, the usage could be referring to God, could be referring to his gift, could be referring to other things. And context always helps us to get the proper usage. So we're going to be looking at three different words as they relate to sins. And in looking at these three words, what it will do for us, it will give us a bigger picture of God's forgiveness for us. We will see it even bigger. Because it's one thing to say, yes, God's forgiven me all my sins. That's great. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. But I think as we look at these words briefly, I think it will just touch our hearts how big and great his forgiveness is. So the word that's used here in verse 43, shall receive remission of sins, is the same word that was used in Acts 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It, both of those verses, it's the same word, and it's aphesis. And the basic meaning of that Greek word is release from bondage. That's its basic meaning. When it is used in the context of sins, it means forgiveness, the pardon of sins, the letting them go as if they had not been committed. Letting them go. You see this same word in Ephesians 1, a familiar verse. Letting them go as if they had not been committed. Really? Ephesians 1, 7, familiar verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood. That means he gave his life. The forgiveness of sins. That's that same word. Letting them go as if they'd not been committed. And you see it also in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 14, it says the same thing pretty much that we just read in Ephesians. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Letting them go as if they had not been committed. In Colossians 2, it's a different word. Colossians 2:13, it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. This is a different word, and it's the word charizomai or charizomai. It means freely given grace. And used in the context of sins, it means freely and graciously pardoned or forgiven. Not grudgingly, not forced, freely and graciously given a pardon. Because of Jesus Christ paying the price, our sins are forgiven. God has freely and graciously pardoned us, letting them go as if they had not been committed. This word is used in Ephesians 4. Back up just a bit to Ephesians 4, a verse that's familiar. As a matter of fact, it's in this verse twice. And verse 32 of Ephesians 4, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, not your sake, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Both of those are that word, charizomai. God freely and graciously pardoned and forgave us. And here God is telling us we ought to freely and graciously forgive one another like God has forgiven us. Isn't that beautiful? Freely, not grudgingly. I have to forgive him. Oh, aren't you glad God didn't go, oh, gee, I got to forgive that guy. Freely and graciously pardoned us. For whose sake? For Christ's sake. Because, as we'll see in a few minutes, Jesus Christ is the one who paid the price. So we could have forgiveness. This same word comes up in 2 Corinthians, talking about forgiving others, which we ought to. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7, it says, so that, 2 Corinthians 2, 7, so that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him. Forgive your brother. And comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. We freely and graciously forgive one another so that the one that did the wrong is not swallowed up over much sorrow, go around feeling horrible and guilty, right? But think about it. God has freely and graciously forgiven us so that we don't go around swallowed up in over much sorrow and guilt and all of that. 1 John chapter 1 is another word, the third one. I told you this is just a brief look at these words. 1 John chapter 1 is the third word we're going to look at. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This word is aphiemi. I think I'm saying it right, but you can look it up. Aphiemi. And it means to send away, to dismiss, to set free, to remit the punishment where the guilty person is dealt with as if he was innocent. Isn't that just deep? God is faithful and just to cancel the punishment dealing with us as if we were innocent. So when we got born again, all of our sins were remitted. They were let go as if they never happened. God freely gave us a gracious pardon for all sins. We are forgiven. And since that time, when we fall short, we go to our Father and God forgives. He dismisses it. He cancels the punishment dealing with us as if we were innocent. Now, briefly seeing those words kind of gives us a little bigger picture of God's forgiveness toward us, doesn't it? And isn't it interesting? Those are the words that God chose to use about forgiveness. I mean, he could have just used one word. You're forgiven. You know, let go. But to see that these different words are used regarding our sins, did we deserve this? No. We certainly couldn't earn it. Go to 1 John again, if you would. Are we in 1 John? Yeah, we are. We're going to go to chapter 2. We always have to remember that we have God's forgiveness not because we feel so badly for what we've done. And so God's going to forgive us. Or that we're so sorry for what we've done. Or that we promise, I'm never going to do that again. Many times people forgive that way, right? I'm not going to forgive him. He's not sorry. Why should I forgive him? He's not sorry. People sometimes have that criteria, you know, feel badly, sorry you did it, promise to never do it again. None of those are why God has forgiven us. In 1 John 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation, the full payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have forgiveness because Jesus Christ paid the price, the penalty. He gave his life for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven, cleansed from all unrighteousness. If we weren't, then there's no way we could understand what it says in Romans that we are righteous before God. Because sin is unrighteousness. And that's why when we screw up, we go to our Father and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So some people really don't like to preach this message. There are some preachers that would rather preach sin. And, you know, go down the list and say, you know, you're a sinner here, you're a sinner here. Why don't you stop your sinning? Sin is horrible. Sin is bad. Don't you feel bad for sinning? Yes, I do. Well, then stop sin, you know, all of this. They don't preach God's great forgiveness because they don't want people to go, ooh, well, no punishment, huh? Kind of like that. Well, before we go too far with that, look at Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 helps us keep in bounds. In Romans chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And in verse 15 it says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Sin is still sin. You know, sin is still sin. It is still thinking or acting contrary to the will of God. And when we do fall short, we go to our Father and get that forgiveness. And we just read He's faithful and just to forgive us, canceling the punishment, dealing with us as if we're innocent, and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Wow, how blessed we are. So, that we ought to remember. And secondly, what we need to remember is to accept that forgiveness. That He really did forgive me, even for that one and for those. Yes, He did really forgive me. Because if we don't, then our lives will be swallowed up with sin consciousness, guilt, shame, condemnation. God does not want us to live that way. So look back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 thing to say, yes, God has forgiven me. Do I accept that? Do I really accept that He has forgiven me? All sins. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Word condemn means to point the finger at, to accuse. If our own heart condemns us, I'm so screwed up. I messed up so bad. Gosh, how could I have done that thing? I'm just so... Well, go to the Father and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Do I accept that? No, this is too bad. How could God ever forgive me for... That's a trick. That robs you of your relationship with God. Because you just go around in sin consciousness. Guilt, shame, and condemnation. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. We already read Jesus Christ was the propitiation, the full payment for our sins and not for ours only, but what? For the sins of the whole world. Would that include mine? Yours? Sins of the whole world. Okay. Well, look here in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 11, it's talking about, you know, the priests in the Old Testament law making the sacrifices. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That include your sins and mine? Yeah. Yep. 2,000 years ago, the price was paid. All of them?
Yep.
All my sins?
Yep.
All of them. And when you think about it, it takes humility to accept God's forgiveness. It really does. Takes humility. Well, my sin is so bad that... Oh. And you talk... Really, you find people that go, God could never forgive me. not for what I've done. Oh, I know the Bible says he forgives. Oh, I know Jesus paid, but not mine. That is ego.
Ego.
Pride. What, you want God to send Jesus back and just die for you? He already did it. They're forgiven. The Apostle Paul had to accept God's forgiveness. A lot of God's forgiveness, right?
Yes.
He was literally, before he was born again, the Apostle Paul was literally a religious terrorist. Right? In the name of God, he was killing people that didn't believe what he believed. In the name of God. He thought he was doing God such a great big favor. In Acts 22, back up to Acts 22 if you would. While you're going there, I just read you from Acts 7 about Paul. Paul was consenting back in chapter 8, I'm reading from, we're going to look at 22 in a minute, but I think you're familiar with Acts 8 where we find an introduction to this guy, Paul, who was consenting to Stephen's death. There was a great persecution of the church. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Here in Acts chapter 22, verse 4, Paul said, 22:4, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. That's what he did. And you remember he got a visit from Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. That was pretty dramatic. When he was before King Agrippa in Acts 26, he said to them, I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority, and then he told Agrippa about his trip to Damascus. What an awful man, right? Horrible. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Talk about somebody needing forgiveness. You think your sins are bad? Okay. Sin is sin. In Galatians 1:13, Paul wrote, For you have heard of my conversation or behavior in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. God's people, God's church, wasted it. And yet this man went from killing God's family to being one of the greatest believers in the first century. He went from killing God's people to becoming a holy man of God that was moved by the Holy Spirit and given the revelation to write most of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Would that have been your pick? Who should we get to write all this stuff? Oh, I know, buddy. So the question is, how did he overcome the guilt, the shame, the condemnation? I mean, the realization once that he got born again, right? You know, he was 3 days without his sight. And Ananias came, Brother Saul, receive your sight. You know, then he got his head into the Old Testament scriptures. That's all there was to read. No Gospels, Old Testament scriptures. And he said he spent like 3 years in Arabia or what? I mean, he just got into the scriptures. And what was it like when he realized, I have been killing God's children. I've been killing people that are born again. I'm wrecking God's great plan. How do you get over that? I'm sorry. The only way you get over that is to recognize and accept that God has completely cleansed you. Sent the sins away, letting them go as if they hadn't been committed. A gracious, loving, giving pardon. So, we'll read that. 1 Corinthians 15. Thank God he did get over it. Yeah, he could have got born again, spent the rest of his life moping. I'm glad I'm born again, but oh, I sure screwed up. You know, I think the last thing the adversary wants is for anyone to get born again, to get saved, mm-hmm. to get eternal life. Mm-hmm. So, if they do, next best thing, get them on the sidelines doing nothing. You know, not growing in God's word, not helping anyone, not manifesting the Spirit. You know. Well, Paul didn't stay on the sidelines. But look what he said in 1 Corinthians 15, and then we're going to close in Matthew. But 1 Corinthians 15, 9. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what or who I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Mm-hmm. Three times in that verse, grace, grace. Mm-hmm. He recognized that it was God's grace. You know, and one of those words we looked at was freely given, a gracious, freely given gracious pardon. He recognized God's grace, that God had totally forgiven him for all of those things. Isn't that beautiful? We are, in God's eyes, who God says we are. Like Paul said, I am who I am. I am, by the grace of God, I am who or what I am. And God said that we are not only righteous, but we are forgiven, cleansed, he said, from all unrighteousness. And it's because Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. We're forgiven and righteous in his sight because of his great mercy. So briefly, again, looking at those three words, we get a little bigger picture of God's great love and grace and forgiveness to us. We see that when we got born again, all of our sins were remitted. They were let go as if they'd never happened. God freely gave us a gracious pardon for all sins. We are forgiven. And then, on those times when we do fall short, we go to our Father and he forgives. He dismisses them and sends them away and deals with us as if we were innocent. Hmm. Matthew 26 is where we're going to close. This is at the Last Supper when Jesus Christ was instituting a memorial, something he did in the middle of a meal. It wasn't a new, what would you call it? A new ritual. It was something very beautiful and simply that he did at the Last Supper, a memorial. And the reason we say it's a memorial, because he said, we'll read next week a little more about that, but the reason it's a memorial is because he said, do this in remembrance of me. That's what a memorial is, right? There's a lot of memorials, a lot of different kinds of memorials. You know, there's plaques, there's... How about the memorial that Joshua put up after they crossed the Jordan River? Pile all those rocks there. Ones that came from the riverbed that was parted, dry ground. So when your kids and your grandkids and everybody comes and they go, what's that? Those were in the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of the river there as a memorial, a reminder of what God did. So... At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ instituted this memorial. And one of the things, one of the two parts of the memorial, verse 26, well, we're going to verse 28. Mm-hmm. Verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's the first word we looked at, remission, pardon, letting them go as if they'd not been committed. This is my blood. It's a metaphor. This cup represents my blood. It's kind of like a double figure of speech, because when you read about the blood of Jesus, it's referring to him giving his life. The precious blood of Jesus, precious life. This represents my life, which is shed for many for the remission, the pardon, the letting go, as if they've never happened, of sins. And next week when we look at healing, we'll read a little bit more about the memorial that he instituted, and we'll also have communion together. But one of the things that our great, wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bought and paid for all of us was forgiveness. And who doesn't need forgiveness? There's only one who never sinned. Everyone else, all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All of us. And we have a wonderful Savior. And God, what did that verse say in Corinthians? Made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a great plan of salvation and redemption. And what a great thing to be thankful for. A good thing to thank God on a somewhat regular basis. Thank you for forgiving me. You know, I know I haven't committed any sins for years, but I just like... What a great, wonderful Savior we have. What a great, gracious God we have. Father, thank you for your great love in sending our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because you so loved the world. You so love people. And you so wanted to fix what Adam ruined. Thank you that we have forgiveness from you, complete forgiveness, cleansed from all unrighteousness, so that we could stand in your presence knowing that we are righteous, and it's by your grace we are who we are. Thank you, Father, for the love we can have for each other and the forgiveness that we can forgive one another because you have forgiven us because of Jesus Christ paying the price. Thank you, Father, for everyone here today and on the phone line, and may we have a blessed week remembering the great truths of your word that we truly are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.